So one of the things that Brad Hayes is a professor of is, you know, American government and political development. And we see Paul Ryan, the latest of the speakers who couldn't take it and who's jumping off and getting out. And there's a succession scramble that is going on. So can you help us make sense of that, Brad Hayes?
Yeah, probably not, but I can try. I think the fight thus far, what we see, what we perceive is kind of a three-horse race with the current House Majority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, being perhaps the lead candidate, Steve Scalise, the majority whip, who listeners might remember. He was one of the individuals who was shot during that
baseball game.
Baseball practice. Who has some advantages, Southern, deeply conservative, and has a really strong story to tell about his leadership, and then in some ways a more of a dark horse candidate, but kind of a more interesting tactical and strategic one is Jim Jordan, who's a prominent member of the House Freedom Caucus.
And also under some investigation for protecting sexual predators.
Yeah, or at least, I mean, he was an assistant wrestling coach at Ohio State during a time when one of the doctors employed by Ohio State to deal with athletics was apparently engaging in sexual assaults. There are questions about whether, in fact, Jim Jordan knew about this. There are people that, right. I think six people have come out and said they basically informed him and he kind of ignored it. He's saying he didn't know and all that jazz. So that's, these kinds of things certainly don't help
okay,
him.
Okay, okay, okay.
But
cut the malarkey. Tell me who's going to win.
Well, So none of them are going to be the next speaker because
really?
I expect the Democrats to take the House. There's
a
mild prediction.
But
nevertheless, I one of the really interesting things, imagine that Republicans are able to retain control. The House Freedom Caucus has been willing to throw bombs and burn things down. They seem to take quite a bit.
That's the uber-conservative caucus.
Yes, the uber-conservative caucus. And they've been willing to do this kind of time and again. And in order for Republicans to reach a majority, to choose the Speaker of the House, they need the 40 members of the House Freedom Caucus. So if they decide to support no one other than Jordan, then there's a real possibility that the Republicans couldn't select the next speaker. So in other words, it would force them to select a member of the House Freedom Caucus.
I take a slightly different point of view here, Brad Hayes. I think it's going to be Kevin McCarthy. I think it's predictable, and I think the number two guy will probably get chosen by the Freedom Caucus.
That certainly is a possibility. McCarthy is in some ways a classic speaker, right? In other words, that he's not really a leader in the style of Paul Ryan. He's not out kind of engaging in policy debates, right? He's a tactician, right? He's somebody who works behind the scenes that is much more comfortable attempting to form coalitions to drive votes and the like, that kind of inside politics game. And that often is what we see with speakers. You can think about like Dennis Hassert in that kind of role. I think that is a real possibility. And if I were to make odds, I would say that McCarthy is certainly the most likely and certainly would be, I think, Ryan's pick to succeed him. But, obviously we'll see how this all plays out.
Okay, so let's move from the Republicans. And as you correctly indicate, there's a good deal of speculation that the Democrats will take the House. I'm not so sure, but let's assume for a second that they do. And then the question is, who becomes the speaker on their side? And I know that based on the interviews that I do on the Congressional Corner, this show with all the Democrats, they love Pelosi, except she's been vilified so much by Trump and everybody else that it may be difficult to get her through. There's a question there somewhere.
I think there is, right. No, I think the, right. And I'm not sure either, right, of the question or the answer in the sense that if Pelosi were to fall on her sword, right, and to say, like, look, I've become part of the narrative of the Republican opposition, and I'm going to remove myself.
Pelosi's in her upper 70s, so am I. Does that count?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in other words, it may count
smart
in terms
answer.
Of her, you know, understanding what her legacy is and how much more she wants to get accomplished and all those kinds of things. But that's all internal. And I don't think so. I mean, she is well regarded in the caucus. And I know that she is divisive and that there may, in fact, be some type of desire for change. But my sense of the universe is that unless she steps down from the speaker, well, from the leadership position, right, doesn't put her name into consideration for the speakership and makes that announcement early, then it's pretty much hers. And I'd be very surprised if there was actually some kind of successful cabal in selecting somebody else. There might be an effort, right? And sometimes that symbolism matters, can also help drive her in a more progressive direction. But whatever the case, my sense of the universe is that she is still has a pretty strong hold on that. Even if, in fact, I think it would be in some ways useful if she removed herself from the electoral discussion, right? Because Republicans are going to pound away on that, you know, Nancy Pelosi. That is going to be one of their major talking points. And if she were to step aside and leave that open, I think it takes away one of their bullets, and that has utility. Mm. But I don't actually expect that to happen.
Mm. And if it's not Pelosi, you got any ideas about who it might be?
I don't, because then if it's not Pelosi, I think it opens up to any number of progressive challengers. And, you know, there have been any number of names that have kind of bubbled up, but they don't really stick. So I'm not really sure. I mean, in other words, I would think that if you don't get Pelosi, it's much more likely that, you know, it's not going to be like Steny Hoyer, you know, kind of an heir apparent.
Right.
But it might, in fact, be somebody that's new, that's coming from a different wing of the party, that kind of more progressive or, you know, probably not the social democratic wing, but, you know, something along those lines that may, in fact, be very different than what we've seen in the past.
I've got a little over a minute now. I want to ask you about Gillibrand. Every time I turn around, somebody's mentioning her as a presidential candidate. Frankly, I don't see it, but I'm wondering where you are.
Well, I certainly see her behaving like a prospective candidate. I'd be surprised if she didn't run, given what we've seen, given her positioning on any number of things. Look, she's probably in that upper tier, right? She has a high profile. She's well positioned. I mean, she kind of anticipated Me Too, you know, just in terms of her policy positions, and has been an active spokesman in the course of that movement. You know, so she's probably in that group of top tier candidates that, you know, along with Cory Booker and Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, you know, Kamala Harris, and maybe even Joe Biden. But, you know, I think she is pretty well positioned there. I don't know how she'll fare. But I mean, even more recently, and I know we're almost out of time, but it was interesting to see her take the position on abolishing ICE in immigration, right? The enforcement wing. That's a very progressive position.
Yeah,
and for a while, she was like a moderate Democrat, and she's
or
really
worse.
Moved. She's kind of looks like she's moving, and that looks like that feels has like a very primary kind of feel.
Well, I need a yes or no answer to this last question on this. If she's from New York and Andrew Cuomo is from New York, he can't be happy about her elevation into the first tier. Nobody ever mentions him.
I think he has longer odds.
We've been listening to Brad Hayes, associate professor of political science at Union College, a guy who comes and really makes it interesting. So thank you so much, Brad.
Thanks, Alan.